chapter 16, because we ended last week in verse 17. So, and the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came, so that's the last bowl, and a loud voice came out from the temple, from the throne, saying, "It is done." So we already know that that loud voice is God, because we discussed that quite a bit last week, and it is done. This is the last punishment, or the last bowl being poured out that he has poured upon the earth. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. So this wasn't an attempt to get them to correct themselves. He's already gone through that whole point of pouring out of the trumpets and the seals, and the bowls are the final punishment. They're not a chance to say, okay, turn yourself back around again. He's done with that. He's finished with that. And as he said, he's done. Questions or comments?
What'd you get from the three parts?
I didn't, and I wanted to go back and look that up, because I didn't go there, because I was so busy on the other part today.
Yeah.
Did you come up with anything?
As I read 17, I know there's three kings. It's only three. I don't know if that's any connection or not, being divided into three parts. So I don't know if that could have been some of it.
I meant to go back and look at that.
Yeah, because I really wasn't ready for 16 when you started. I was on 15, so I didn't get a chance to study for it, which I probably wouldn't figure it out no way. But
well, now you're ready for 17, right?
I guess.
I know all of you guys are. And Lisa read her chapter this morning, and I was so proud. I told her I was just going to let her go ahead and teach today. And she said, "I just read it. Didn't study it." Well, let's go ahead and get started with chapter 17. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality." The first thing we're going to have a hard time with is, who is this harlot Babylon? I mean, who is this?
Which nation, devil?
Which what is it? Which nation, which culture, which creature, which civilization, which economic, what political, whether it's religious, political, I mean, If I looked up, I tell you, I always go to SermonCentral.com. If I go to SermonCentral.com, the first two pages, which are 20 pages each, all of them tell me exactly who this is in their mind. Who do you think the harlot is that sits on seven mountains?
Well, it's religion, I believe.
Anybody else?
I think it's a combination of everything that's going against God in the whole past and the whole entire world.
Y'all are smarter than those other two pages.
Thank you.
those first 40 sermons all say that the harlot here is obviously the Catholic Church. Seven hills. But he didn't say hills. He said mountains. Yeah. Mountains don't mean hills. And they're not confused with each other either.
It could just mean
a mountain is a symbol of government within the Bible system. Right. So what I'm saying is, when you guys probably don't go around listening to a lot of sermons on the radio, but when you do, what I'm trying to get you to be able to do is discern what information you bring in and how you parcel that out by studying and figuring things out. I believe, just like Philip does, that Babylon, it's mentioned almost 300 times in the Bible, 278 times, I believe. And it can mean a literal city. It can mean a political system. It can mean an economic system. But in this particular case, because of the things that are said, I believe it's a religious system. And this religion system started very early on, obviously before Christianity ever started. Mm-hmm. And whenever God did something, Satan copies it and has a counterfeit of it. Mm-hmm. Because the best way to counteract God's Christianity is to make something that looks really close to God's Christianity, but it's not real. And so if you'll follow that instead of this, because this looks better, then the devil's got exactly what he wants. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he doesn't want you to not go to church altogether. He wants you to go to church. He wants you to be dedicated. He wants you to find the wrong thing to worship. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to exactly what he wants.
So that's not, the Catholic faith is still in Jesus. Jesus still
I'm not, I'm, not even, I'm totally gone off the Catholic faith, so I don't want to work. Here's the problem with, oh, it's the Catholic system, it's the Pope. The Pope is obviously the harlot. Babylon is what I believe is a religious system. It's the turning away from God, whether it's Catholics, whether it's bad Protestants, whether it's Tao or Buddhism or whatever. It's a turning away from the one true God. In whatever form that may take, it's not worshiping God in his full fullness. And if we can get you to go off into some other direction instead of Christianity or instead of having Christ as your Savior, then he's done exactly what he wants to do. Remember the Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea was we can be our own gods.
And that's what makes us a name. Us a name.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
It's more about us. We always want to try to make a religion that we like. Religion in our image, not in God's image. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most idolatrous kind of things that we can do is not accepting God as he is, but trying to change God into what we think he ought to be.
And that definition of tower is very interesting within many definitions. It does have pulpit, which is very interesting.
In this book that I was reading about the Babylon Code, it just says that there's going to be a one world leader, one world order. The Antichrist is going to be the leader, and it's just interesting.
Well, then let's take that then. So we saw back in chapter 13 the Antichrist and the beast, right, with all the heads, and we're going to see that. Go ahead.
I was going to say the harlot. When you say harlot, remember, we're supposed to be the bride of Christ or the wife, or, you know. And so that's why he looks at us, or looks at those that are being deceived. A lot of these being deceived are the harlot or the religion. Now, within the religious system, there are a lot of people. It's got, you know, within that system that is feeding. Not only are they deceived, this religious system has deceived them. This is what's causing it to live. So that's why God is calling harlots,
right,
I believe, because of that religion.
Right.
Yeah.
Because remember, we saw another woman, I can't remember the chapter, that represented Israel. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the counterfeit, exactly the counterfeit of that. So, bride has the bride of Christ, the church, Israel, and then you have the Antichrist that has his person, and it's going to be the harlot, which is those that worship other gods away from God. So let's go with this imagery here for a second. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with wine of their immorality. You know, was it Stalin who said that religion was the opioid of the masses? And it is. Empty religion is the opioid of the masses. It quells them. It puts them at peace and puts them at ease. And so Stalin was not the first dictator to use religion wrongly to bring people to him and then to be able to maneuver them where he wanted to. Well, that's what the Antichrist is going to do here. He's going to have his one world religion, and that's going to be everybody coming together and all being one in this false religion. And so that brings all the masses to the Antichrist with the harlot. The harlot's representing religion. But it appears as though in this imagery that let me keep on with it. Verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. So you got this picture. You got this harlot riding on a beast with seven. Y'all envision this, right? Y'all have these kind of dreams, right? With seven heads and ten horns. Well, she seems like she's in control. Religion is in control of the Antichrist, which is not really what's going on here, but seems to be. Seems that you know, the religion is drawing people to the Antichrist, and he's giving power to this religion and giving authority to this religion. They're giving authority back and forth between each other. But the look is that she's wearing scarlet and purple and fine clothing and gold and precious stones. So all these riches, these economic riches, have come to this religion, to this symbol of religion. And verse 5, and upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, in ancient Rome, in Rome at the time of John, if you were a prostitute, you know how, yeah, we can walk into Wendy's and it says, hi, my name is John, or whatever. Well, in this time in Rome, if you were a prostitute, you wore a headband. I'm thinking like Nike headband, right? Like you play tennis in. But it said, hi, my name is Candy. You had a name, so you could go, hey, Candy. Hey, Cheryl. Hey, whatever. And the prostitute would come to you. So this is saying, upon her forehead, a name was written. It's showing that this was a harlot. This is something that would have been very familiar to the people of this time. The mother of harlots and the great, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So she represents all the false religions that have ever been or ever will be, all rolled into one. And all the abominations, all the immorality, all those things are all embodied within her, and they come out from her. Any questions or comments? I know we're going to run out of time on this.
Word of mystery, also a secret symbol or a secret religious symbol, because it's been a mysterium. So that's pretty good, that definition.
I think it's starting to make sense finally to me after all this time.
This is not thanks to Mr. Wayne, but I would not have tackled this.
This is our best chapter.
I would.
It's like when you finish, you're through with the thing.
Yeah. I'm never going to be through with it. I know I'm going to keep coming back. But anyway, it's been enlightening, and trust me, I'm scratching the surface. You know, you guys can go out and do so much more, but we're getting some symbols here. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, and then I saw her, and I wondered greatly. So this woman is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. So this religion is against Christianity, is against those who worship Jesus. So in order to have this one world government, you can't stand up and say, oh, wait a minute, what about Jesus? Jesus is the only way. You're gone, because you're not going to be able to survive within this all-encompassing system, which allows everyone to, you know, this one world system where everyone is safe.
We see Christianity going against the saints. You can't put all Christians in the category of the saints. You just can't do it. The saints are the elect. I'm sorry, but you can't put you got the Christian system involved with. They're the ones going against.
You do.
No, you do. System. Well, you won't believe the Catholic Church or what?
You do have. Yeah, you're not. Christianity. You're not going to get to heaven and say, "Can I go to the Baptist section? Can I go to the Methodist section?" Whoever stands at that gate's going to go, "Huh?" And you go, "Well, don't you have any Christians here?" "Oh yeah, we got an abundance of Christians." But if you're a false Christian, if you're worshiping God falsely within whatever denomination you're in,
or you're worshiping this system, that's
who would worship the system?
People who are deceived.
People who call themselves Christians, but are following this.
Remember what Christ said. Men will come in my name,
right,
saying they are Christians,
right,
but will deceive me. That's what this is talking
about. People that make religion their idols.
Right.
I mean, there's a Cassie Brown song that I explain to people that are maybe not, you know, they're like, well, I just this Methodist. Like, because of all this new wave, everything out there, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I can just hang out from my seat. And there's part of the song which says sometimes religion gets in the way. And that's the bottom line. If you wake up every morning and you know who your God is, then that's as long as you're worshiping the right thing.
Exactly.
You're not worshiping that car, you're not worshiping that church, you're not worshiping.
Because I have people tell me all the time, you know, well, will you go to the Methodist church? And I said, but if you came into my class, I guarantee you, I've got Catholics, Episcopalians, Baptists. I've got all different, and if I made you all take a written test, I'm not gonna. But if I made you take a written test of what you believe, I would have a lot of different beliefs within that system, and I know I would. But that's not the qualification to come here and worship God. The idea is that we're all trying to strive and worship and learn and and expand our minds and allow God to flow through us. So the whole idea is that we would become better servants of God by being with like-minded people in that fellowship, whether we all agree on what we believe or not. But
well, I mean, part of it is the challenge. That's what I enjoy about the concerts, is that we don't all agree.
They don't agree.
It comes from that.
Yeah. So,
I think it's difficult to see how a true Christian can truly be deceived by this giant, ugly beast with all these rich and pearls and all that stuff.
It's a symbol. Let me give you a today thing. You know, it's really good. I believe that the Catholic and the Jew and the people with Islam and the Buddhists and the Taoists and the whatever, I think we all kind of want the exact same thing, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we? We all want to love our gods. But when you get to the point where you say all of those are worshiping the same God, that's where you kind of cross over into a land that is a one world religion. And here's the real key to this. I mean, we're dealing with the religion part this week. Next week, we will deal with the commercial, political, economic Babylon. Mm-hmm. The reason when I say Babylon, there's a lot of different Babylons. But in what God is trying to get you to see, or trying to get John to see in this particular case, is that this religion can't stand on its own. It has to have the Antichrist. The Antichrist can't proceed without that religion, without everybody coming together into this one world religion. So how do they gain this title? Let's continue on for just a minute. Verse 7, and the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the seven horns. Oh, then we should have just gone there first. We could have gone to the angel. He would have told you all about this. The beast that you saw and is not. Oh, now listen to this. The beast which you saw and is not and is about to come. Where have you heard that before? He who is and who was and who is to come. Have you ever heard that before? This is close, but no cigar. This is the counterfeit again. This is the Antichrist again. You see how it says the beast that you saw and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast and he was and is not and will come. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying
it's those long sighs.
The only thing with beast here is it the beast system? Now we got two different beasts here. We know in 13, mm-hmm. Antichrist was represented by the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see the dragon mentioned here. Mm-hmm. But now verse 6. Now we know that the fourth kingdom is mentioned in Daniel, which is Rome. Okay. It was a very diverse kingdom. Okay, that was the last kingdom. Now, it was, they said pay attention to the fourth, and Daniel basically said, watch the fourth kingdom, watch the fourth beast. Because out of it, now we know that Rome was, okay, the beast that was Rome, and it is not, now it failed. We know Rome failed, mm-hmm. But now it is. But Rome, I hate to put it this way, but here's the ones that put the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman power is still there because of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that's some one thing I read, and it made a little bit of sense. It said to be careful of the word beast when I'm on the clinic and strong, because it always meant, in basically, the system and not an individual.
Right.
And this book says the beast means evil. Although evil is real and persistent, there's no uncertainty about its ultimate fate. So the evil was there, and it's going to come back, but it's not going to survive.
Right, and here's the bad part of me having six pages. I can't find what I'm looking for. But yes, the beast is a system, and this system is that one world system. It's going to be the Antichrist, the power, and some people will speculate that this beast. Hold on, let's continue on just a little bit, and then I'll be.
And also,
are you in chapter
7,
9, or 8?
I think I'm still on 8 and getting ready to go to 9, but go ahead.
It's the last part of 8, you know, I've got to.
Okay.
But it talks about, and yet soon he will come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction, and the people of earth whose names have not been written in the book of life, this is the part, before the world began.
Mm-hmm. From the foundation of the world.
Yeah. Certain names written. That's the saints. That's the elect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before the world began, before creation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
a tough one.
They were born. They were alive.
They were chosen in the spirit.
That's a discussion we've had.
That's another discussion
over and over again. We'll have to have that at some point. But you know, from my standpoint, and I'll just throw this out here. Look at 2 Peter 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Boy, she pulled out that Bible sword drill right there. That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whether they do or not, and this gets back to the, you know, whether God knows whether we're going to be saved or we're not going to be saved, and whether we have any, whether it's predetermined or all that. But we're going to stick with this for right now. So yeah. The beast is a political system, and it looks like religion is driving this political system, but that's not happening. The beast is still in control. Is still in charge. Is still in control. We can't really put this in context either, because remember, Revelation is not chronological. Probably where this point happens, you're going to see the woman here is going to get destroyed by the beast in a few minutes. I'll read that to you shortly. But so most people think this is right at the middle of the tribulation. This is at the point when the abomination of desolation happens. And so there's a breaking away between the Antichrist and the religious system. And so, man, this is a lot more complicated. I almost need to map this out to keep everybody on the page. But let's read a little bit more. Verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. That's the part that I really want to find for you guys, because this is...
in that Antichrist.
What?
What we just read. Okay, I just thought I'd throw it in.
And they are seven kings, five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. I believe that's a political system.
It must continue a short space. Now, we know he's given a short space, that the little horn or Antichrist is given a short time on earth.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and I could be wrong on this, but I believe that those five, if I just had them here, it would be so much easier. Seven mountains. Here it is. Refers to the five world empires of John's day: Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Mesopotamia, and Greece. One refers to the world empire of John's day, which is Rome. Okay, so that's, and then there's one yet to come. That one yet to come is the one we're waiting for. It's that world system that would exemplify Rome all over again. At John's time, Rome was controller of the world. Rome was the ruler of the world. There will come another time during this tribulation period where there will be a, quote, Rome. There will be a world system. A lot of people think that's the European Union. That's that one government. That's that one monetary system. That's that equality of all people, that everybody's going to be the same and we're all going to love one another and have this one joint unity. They believe that that political system is going to allow religion to ride on top until the point that it doesn't, and then it takes over. And with that, I'm not saying that that's what it is, but that's one mindset. Here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman rides, and they are the seven kings. Five have fallen. Those were the past empires, Greece and Rome, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. And the beast which was not and is not is himself also an eighth, because you've got all the heads, but you've also got the beast. And it's the one, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. And the ten horns which you saw, once again, the horns represent knowledge, the heads represent knowledge and power, and the horns represent strength and power. And then the ten horns which you saw are the ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they received authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb. Now, here's the bad thing you don't want to do. If you know how this is going to turn out, you don't really want to go and have a fight with the landlord. I mean, but it's going to happen. So these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Because have you noticed this? We always think we're all going to get together, right? We're all, Jesus is going to come back. We're all going to join the army, right? We're all going to go fight with the Lamb, aren't we? He's not really going to need you there. Trust me. You're gonna pull up Gettysburg, or not Gettysburg. What was the one? Manassas. Is that the one where they're right next to Washington? And everybody came out and all their parasols and stuff. And they were going to watch this routing of the Confederates, and they all sat down and had a picnic lunch. And all of a sudden, things went bad. I have a feeling that when Christ comes and they say we're going against the Lamb, we're going to be all kind of sitting back, going, "Wow, this ought to be good," because He's not really going to need you to fight, but He wants you to see. He wants you to understand what's going on and how this is happening. So there's going to rage against, in verse 15, and he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire." Didn't see that one coming, did you? So this religious system is going to be torn apart by this political system, leaving nothing. "For God has put it in their hearts to execute His purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth."
Was the Lamb Israel?
The Lamb is Christ. The Lamb is the Lamb of Christ.
It's without sinners. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with Him are called, chosen
and faithful.
Now this gives me, when I read this, this gives me a better understanding of what Christ was saying in John 15:16. Many are called, but few are chosen. This is the full, well, he said you've got to be called, the called, chosen, and faithful is separate from being just called. Because you can be called by a lot of things. You can even call yourself. So called, chosen, and faithful.
Could you be chosen and not faithful?
No, it's got to, you know, you will
be. That's what I'm saying.
You will be, that's what it said, chosen and faithful.
I know.
You will be faithful if you're chosen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Could you be one or the other?
These are the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Well, you got three books. You got the Book of Life, you got the Lamb's Book of Life, and you got one of them was mentioned here. I went off on a rabbit hole with that. One of them was before the foundation of the earth. Mm-hmm. Was that the Book of Life? But then you got the Lamb's Book of Life.
I see what you're saying, Larry. That could be read as you could either be called, or you could either be chosen, or you could either be faithful to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be you have to be all three at one to be there with Christ.
Well, I'm saying these people will be. What if you're called but you're not chosen? What if you're faithful but you're not called?
You can't separate them. That's got all three together.
Well,
three means it's the same thing as sevens. It means spiritual completeness. This is a completeness here. It's complete within itself.
So I'm just saying, if you are chosen but you're not faithful, then you're not part of this. You see what I'm saying?
You can't separate. You're going to be faithful if you're chosen.
But are there people who are faithful but not chosen? Are there people who are called but not?
Well, he's pretty much telling you right here. Though.
I know. In this group, he's saying these are who will be saved. But I'm just saying, could you be faithful without being chosen?
These are the one with their.
I know.
If you're a true Christian, you're probably all three.
You are all three.
Okay. Well, we're gonna move on from that because we've run out of time. But next week, next week I'm not going to be here. The week after, we're going to look at chapter 18, and this is another Babylon. But it's a different system. It's a commercial economic system. It's not a religious system. That religious system of the harlot riding on the beast is the religious system which we just scantly went across. But you can go back and study it more. The next one coming up is going to be a totally different type of Babylon. Thank you, guys. And I want to show you one thing.